Thank you for directing your internet connection to this sermon audio page for Geneva Orthodox Presbyterian Church. You can learn more about Geneva Presbyterian at www.genevaopc.org. Geneva meets for worship each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Turn your Bibles together with me to Genesis chapter 29 as we look into God's Word. Genesis 29, verse 31 to 35. Hear the holy and infallible Word of God. When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, because the Lord has looked upon my affliction, for now my husband will love me. She conceived again and bore a son, and said, because the Lord has heard that I am hated, he has given me this son also, and she called his name Simeon. Again she conceived and bore a son, and said, now this time my husband will be attached to me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore his name was called Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son, and said, this time I will praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah. Then she ceased bearing. In biblical times, names that parents gave to their children meant a whole lot. It was a great deal for parents at the time. In those days, parents did not name their children after a famous tree or plant, or after a famous actor or actress, or a football player, but after a biblical characters, or based on the way they saw their children after their birth, what they saw in their children outwardly, the way the child looked like. And we see that with the woman who is the theme of my sermon this morning, Leah. If you notice on verse 16 and 17, chapter 29, Moses tells us this. Now, Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful in form and appearance. You see what her father did. He saw her condition outwardly, and he called her Leah. And then the name Leah means weary-eyed or dull. Now keep in mind, parents can choose this name today, the name Leah, for their children based on Leah's character in the Bible, what her character represented in the Bible, because the character of this name represents the God whose eyes are upon the rejected and despised. Her character also represents the Savior, the Messiah, who was rejected and despised. So there is nothing wrong with choosing this name for our children, knowing what her name represents. But when Jacob chose this name for Leah, he was not thinking about the latter description that I just described to you. He based naming this child Leah based on what he saw. This woman was unwanted. This woman was unloved. This woman was rejected. This woman was despised. The reason why he gave her to Jacob through a way of deception was his perception of his daughter. The fact that nobody would want this woman, despised and rejected. And the lesson that we learn this morning from Leah's life is this: God always maintains a very special focus and kind regard to the lowly and rejected in any given culture, provided that they learn to look to Him through their trouble and affliction. That's the God whom we worship. That's the God whom we follow. That's the God on whom we depend. His eyes are always upon those who are rejected and despised. And I want us to consider briefly four things this morning. First, God sees what the world doesn't see. And God hears what the world doesn't hear. And God receives what the world doesn't receive. And God celebrates what the world doesn't celebrate. So first, God sees what the world will not see. Notice verse 31 and 32. When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, and he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren, and Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, because the Lord has looked upon my affliction, for now my husband will love me. Now this action of God, or God's visitation on Leah, comes after verse 30. So Jacob went to Rachel also, and he loved Rachel more than Leah, and served Laban for another 7 years. God saw Leah. God saw the misery and the pain and the sorrow of Leah after she was hated by her husband Jacob. Jacob didn't love Leah. He loved Rachel more than Leah. And God saw Leah. And he opened her womb. And she conceived a boy. She gave Jacob a child. And she called him Reuben. Reuben means to see. El Roy. That's what it means. And God was teaching a lesson to Leah. God was saying to Leah, Leah, I see you being rejected, despised. And I see that, you feel that, you are in pain about that. And you are looking for this love that will satisfy you forever. You are craving. You are looking for Jacob's love. You're trying to find the reason by which Jacob should love you and give you a satisfying love every day of your life. But Jacob doesn't see that. Jacob doesn't love you. Now remember, my friends, the two men who were very influential on Leah didn't love her. Her father and her husband. Both these men didn't love her, didn't accept her. But God loved her. God accepted her. They didn't see who Leah was. God saw who Leah was, what her heart was. And God was teaching Leah, even though these two men don't see the real you, I see the real you. I see the fact that you are rejected, you are despised. That's who I am. You remember Samuel, the prophet Samuel, being in sorrow after he saw God rejecting the kingship of King Saul in Israel. And God sent Samuel to the house of Jesse to anoint a king for Israel. And when Samuel arrived to the house of Jesse, he saw Eliab, one of the children of Jesse. And Samuel concluded that Eliab was the one. Maybe he looked kingly. Maybe he looked strong because of his height and stature. And Samuel concluded, this is the one. And God said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of the stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. I look on the heart. I look on the condition of the person. The one who is rejected, the one who is despised. I have rejected Eliab. David is the one I chose. Isn't what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1? For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the eyes of the world to shame the wise. And now listen to this. God chose what is weak. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. He chose the wicked, the rejected, the despised. What was low and despised in the world, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And that's exactly what God did with Leah, simply because she was rejected and despised. This morning, do you feel rejected? Do you feel despised? Maybe in your family, maybe in school, maybe in your relationship with other people, maybe in your ministry. Maybe you feel despised and rejected. You see, God is for you. God is on your side. He loves the despised, the weak, and rejected, even if you are in the ministry. Even if you are an elder or a deacon serving God and his people, and you feel rejected and despised. Remember, no one is called to the Christian life because of his strengths, because of his wisdom, because of, you know, his birth being a noble birth. God didn't call people to salvation because they are qualified for salvation. But he calls us to himself. He calls us to salvation. He calls us to receive eternal life in order to qualify us for himself. He calls the weak and the despised to honor and cherish them in his kingdom. And then God hears what the world will not hear. Now notice verse 33. What goes on with Leah. She conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I am hated, he has given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. Now notice what Leah is doing. She's looking for love. Love that would satisfy her throughout her life. And she's looking this love from her husband. And her reason was, I'm giving him children. He must love me now. I should be loved. I should be accepted and honored more than Rachel. Because Rachel is barren. She's not giving him children. I am giving him children. And she calls him Simeon, which means the God who hears, or the one who hears. And God was telling Leah, I'm listening to your cry, even what you are not telling me by your own mouth, your own words. I'm listening to your cry. You see, God examines the heart of his children. He understands our heart. He understands our cry. And the psalmist in Psalm 10, 17, he said, O Lord, you hear the desire of the afflicted. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline your ear to them. And Psalm 44, 21, would not God discover this? For he knows the secrets of the heart. You see, God sees the heart. He understands the secrets of the heart. If we have any medical doctor or nurse here this morning, you know, they don't have the ability to know and see the secrets of our heart, even if they do surgery on us. There is no way that they would understand the secrets of the heart. I can sit over there and pray a wonderful prayer in your presence. But what I'm saying is not what my heart says, but God knows my heart. He examines the heart, the secrets of the heart. So he saw the secrets of the heart of Leah being rejected and despised. And God was telling Leah, you see, all these people around you, they want to see what they want to see. What they desire to see. You know, often we instruct our eyes to see what we want to see, but not God. God sees the secrets of the heart. Jeremiah 17:10, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. There is one incident, one event that always touched my heart in Acts chapter 1. When the disciples decided to fill the place of Judas by another disciple. And this is what they said. And they prayed and said, you, Lord, who know the heart of all, show which one of these two you have chosen. You know, they didn't cast their vote just like that, but they reminded themselves, you know, we don't know the heart of this man. We don't know the secrets of the heart, but God knows. So they went to God in prayer and they asked God to lead the way and choose. And then thirdly, God receives what the world will not receive. Verse 34. Again, she conceived and bore a son and said, now this time my husband will attach it to me because I have borne him three sons. Therefore, his name will be called Levi. Still looking for love, satisfying love. And God gave her a third son, and she called him Levi. Levi means to be attached, to be connected. And this Levi, the name Levi, you see, very soon will become the priesthood in Israel. And you remember the duty of the priest in Israel. He was the middleman. He stands in between God and the people of God. He was a spokesperson for God, on behalf of God to the people, and on behalf of the people to God. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, after Jesus called Levi to follow him, and Levi followed him, and it was not a coincidence. You should know this. And Levi prepared a feast in his house. And in the feast were the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but also the tax collectors came to the feast. And when the Pharisees and the Sadducees saw the tax collectors, sinners, men in Israel who were despised and rejected, and they criticized Christ. How can this man welcome these people, tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus told them, that's the reason why I came to the world, to call the rejected and the despised. Those who are well, they don't need a doctor. They don't need help. But those who are dead in their sin and transgressions, they need help from God, from the Holy Spirit, from the grace of God. That's why I came. You see, my friends, Jesus came so that you and I will be attached to God, will be connected to God, that there will be peace, there will be reconciliation between God and sinners, that you and I will be in fellowship with God. That's the reason why Jesus came. And that was the reason for the name Levi, that there would be attachment and connection and fellowship and communion between God and sinners. And God was saying to Leah, Leah, what is important for you is I see you, I hear you, and you are also attached to me. Your problems, your pain, your trials are attached to me. I know them. I understand them. And lastly, God celebrates what the world doesn't celebrate. Listen to verse 35. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, this time I will praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah. Now let me ask you this. What is different now in Leah's life? Every time she had a baby, she was looking at whom? At Jacob and his love. Now the first child comes, Judah. No more Jacob. Now she got the point. Now she got the lesson. And she said, now it is not about Jacob. Now everything is about God. Now I'm going to praise God. Now I understand, I see that the only way that I will be satisfied in this life is to look to God, to trust God. My satisfaction in life comes only from God. This time I will call this child Judah. Judah means to praise, to celebrate God. That's what it means, to give praise and adoration to God. Think about God. God celebrates what his heart desires. Isn't that amazing? In Zephaniah 3:17, the Bible says, "The Lord, your God, is with you. He's mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." God takes a delight on someone who is rejected, someone who is despised. His joy is on us. His delight is on us. Those men and women who have been saved by his grace and through faith in his Son Jesus Christ alone, he takes a delight on us. And the lesson for Leah and all of us this morning was, take your delight in me. Be satisfied in me. How? How? Well, Leah is now rejoicing in God, who is the source of her true satisfaction in life. Leah learned this through receiving Judah to her life. Judah, do you remember where Jesus came from? Which line? The line of Judah. This despised and rejected woman actually became the mother of Jesus. She was rejected, she was despised, but the Messiah comes from her line. From the line of Judah comes who? David. From the line of David comes who? Jesus. And this mother, this rejected woman, despised woman, becomes the mother of Jesus. John saw this revelation in Revelation 5. And the angel said to him, and one of the elders said to him, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seals." And who was Jesus, my friends? Jesus was rejected. Jesus was despised. He came to his own, and his own rejected him. Why? Because of our sin. Because of our sin. But then his Father raised him from the dead, and now he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. But first, he was rejected and despised. And Leah represents, you see, the rejection of the Son of God, the despise of the Son of God. Your only satisfaction this morning is in Christ Jesus, who knew what rejection means and what despise means. Psalm 16:11, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Psalm 37:4, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the delight of your heart." You see, Leah's delight and satisfaction was not in Jacob. It was in God. So do your satisfaction in this life. Let me ask you this morning before we pray together. Let me ask you this. Where is your delight this morning? Where is your joy? Where is your satisfaction? Is it in God, or you also have your own Jacob? And you are looking at this Jacob to be satisfied in life. Let me remind you, according to the Word of God, based on the Word of God, you will never find that satisfaction. Because this is satisfaction that will remain in you forever. This is eternal joy and satisfaction in Christ Jesus. who was rejected and despised, but the one who defeated death for your sake, to satisfy you in this life forever. Look to Jesus for satisfaction, and you will be satisfied forever. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we give thanks to the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we are fully satisfied. Satisfied with eternal life, with eternal inheritance. And help us to look upon Jesus now for this satisfaction. Help us to abandon any Jacob in our life from whom we are looking for true and eternal satisfaction. Help us to make our focus on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen.